You shut your pie hole when Rock Under Fire is on, or I'll come back there, so help me. What's up, fellas?
Welcome back to Rock Under Fire, episode 23.
There again, yeah! Lots to talk about tonight, fellas. Lots to talk about, I think.
Rock Under Fire Studios is a buzz.
So?
The singers of four of the five major grunge bands are gone.
Yeah, let's get that elephant out of the room.
Only
right away.
Only Eddie's left. I know there are...
Just Vetter's left.
Vetter is a divisive figure, man. I don't think I ever really realized he is a really love or hate type of guy. And
I love him.
Which is weird for me to say that because I'm actually in the middle. I neither love him nor hate him. I'm one of the few, though. People have strong opinions about Ed.
Yeah, I love him. Obviously, for those living under a rock for the past week, we lost Chris Cornell.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's talk about the dead guys now. So we lost Chris.
It's strange because when we were doing that guitar episode, Chuck Berry died like 3 days before it, and we had this vocalist
episode planned,
and as we were accumulating the totals, you know, of our audience poll, Chris Cornell was getting quite a few votes.
Absolutely.
And he goes and dies on Thursday.
And that is before his death.
It's almost like plays into our topic.
It's crazy because Prince died right before our debut episode. I mean, it's nuts the way like these are happening.
I'm afraid to have these like individual.
Don't have a Stones. You guys better not have a Stones episode.
Yeah, stay without a Gany minute now, man. We're gonna lose Keith or Bob. I just know it.
This one, I gotta say right off the bat, man. This one hit me hard. This was a gut punch.
Didn't hit you hard, man.
Yeah, more than Bowie. This one.
I was just talking to Mike before you got here, man. You were more qualified to talk about Cornell than either of us, I think. You know,
this was a gut punch.
He meant more to you than he did us, man.
You know, I had said off air what he reminded me of was if Robert Plant and Ozzy Osbourne could somehow have a love child, that would be Chris Cornell.
Mm-hmm.
He had all that raw, just nastiness of Ozzy, but could scream like a siren, man.
Yeah,
he was. I just, oh my god. He was just fantastic. And you got to go back to like even before Bad Motorfinger, which was the one that kind of broke him with like Outshined on it.
Uh-huh.
Louder Than Love is just...
People love that record.
There's video out there of them playing that whole record before they actually got signed. And they're in a record store playing it. And it's just... Fuck, you knew. You could see him and he was just a step above, man. He was there. You know what I mean? You knew this guy was destined. And two other songs... one of them is just him solo. It's on the two songs on the single soundtrack, the movie singles.
Right.
One of them is him solo, Seasons. And then there's a Birth Ritual or Ritual.
Ritual, man.
Yeah. What a killer tune.
That's a killer tune.
And that's, you know, in the movie, the scene that's playing in the movie is just classic because Matt, what was the guy that was in the movie? Not Matt Damon. What the hell is his name?
Matt Dillon.
He had just installed that stereo in the car, and that's what was playing. And Chris Cornell comes out, and he's just like bopping his head, you know what I mean?
That's
and then
right.
it like blew out the windows. It was just such a classic scene in that movie. And I mean, this one hit me, man. I love Chris Cornell a lot. I loved Soundgarden a lot. Another cool story, I can remember a cover band from Jersey back in the day, Edgar Casey. They were really hugely popular. One night we happened to all be in the city hanging out, and we were down the village, and they happened to be playing. We're like, oh, yeah, man, cool. Edgar Casey's here. Let's go in. And they were doing Outshined, and they just nailed it, man. The dude, Scott, I guess, was the bass player, just fucking nailed it. And it was just like the right moment, the right song, the right, you know, the crowd was digging it. It was a vibe.
How many times did you see Chris play live?
Only twice.
Only twice.
Yeah. But it was enough.
And Soundgarden was your favorite?
No, Pearl Jam is probably my favorite.
No, I'm just saying regarding Chris Cornell's projects.
Oh, yes, definitely. I liked it better than Audioslave. Mm-hmm. I think Audioslave, it was good. The first record for Audioslave I liked a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That Cochise really, like, it came out like a fire, you know, like boom. But I don't know. I felt like it was almost forced. I wasn't crazy about it.
I didn't.
It was okay. I could listen to it. I enjoyed it probably more so for Chris. I was never a huge Rage Against the Machine fan because of the politics involved with that band. It's just, they drove me fucking crazy. Not that, I mean, Tom Morello was a phenomenal guitar player.
What about this solo stuff? How many?
His solo stuff is really good.
Yeah.
Because it's him broken down, man. And you could almost hear like the pain and everything. You know what I mean? He just emoted. They came out, you know, through the solo stuff.
I guess it should have been obvious that he was tormented, you know. I guess it should have been. But I don't think he was on anyone's suicide watch list, you know. I think it came as a shock to everyone, right?
Absolutely. I was working that night. So, I mean, it hit my Facebook feed, like, immediately. Right. And it was, like, 3:30, 4:30 in the morning. And I was like, holy Christ.
Almost the same thing time. At the same time, yeah. Within a minute of each other.
Yep. I was just blown away. I was out having a cigarette reading the story. And I came back in. And the guy I was working with, I was like, wow, Chris Cornell just died. He goes, who's that? I wanted to kill him. Dave, I'm talking about you, Dave.
Yeah. Ha, Dave. What did you think of it? I don't know. I want you to tell. Did his solo stuff rock, or was it a little more?
It's a little more mellow.
Laid out.
It's like a singer songwriter stuff. Right. But you know, another thing he's done with an acoustic guitar, just him. Nothing Compares to You by Prince, the cover of it, brilliant. Atlantic City by Bruce, brilliant.
That's right.
Billie Jean by Michael Jackson. Amazing. The guy is just, he could take a song that wasn't his and break it down and just imagine. I have a version of him doing Imagine on the Howard Stern show. Howard was just fucking flabbergasted because Howard's such a big Beatles guy.
It seems almost like in the last 5 years, he became almost like known for his cover versions. Just of all the music that's been passed out there on social media, every time you saw something from Chris Cornell, it was always a cover song. And it was him with the acoustic guitar and just kind of just like giving it his own stamp. His and own it, signature.
And it truly was.
It was always something great, and it was always something that was just wow.
I highly recommend finding, if you can, the Howard Stern, him doing Imagine. You know, I mean, you think of Imagine, you're thinking of a piano, but he did it on an acoustic guitar, and it sounded beautiful. It really, really did.
Speaking of cover songs, apparently, am I wrong? The very last song he performed live was In My Time of Dying.
That is correct. That is correct. I read the same. I read the same thing, and you know, people tried to say, "Oh, that was a prelude to it." I don't know.
Was that in their set list? Or did they do it night to night, or was it something that he just came out of nowhere?
I've never heard them do it. I mean, maybe it was in their set list. I don't know. I mean, he was very excited to play in Detroit.
Yeah,
there's a lot of history in the city, or whatever. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, who knows? He's the only one who knows. You know, I first heard about it, and I'm like, okay, was this like one of those autoerotica asphyxiation things?
Yeah.
You know.
Michael Hutchinson,
and Carradine too. Carradine really took it to a whole nother level.
Yeah, okay, man.
So I don't know what to think. And then you're hearing about this Ativan, and that, you know, it's giving. Gives you
suicidal thoughts, man.
And he took more than was prescribed. I mean, security, from what I read, security from the hotel would not let. I guess a road manager or somebody that was close to them wouldn't let him in. The guy busted in the door. He busted the door down.
Yeah.
And apparently the bathroom door was kind of wedged as well, so he had to break that down as well.
Yeah, never ceases to amaze you, right?
Yeah, it's
all
horrible.
All the women, all the money, man, and kill yourself, man.
Married, three kids.
Never understand it.
You know, if the guy got sick, I can understand that, but man, oh, man, this one... I don't know. It hurt me. It hurt me more even than Kurt. I mean, Kurt. I liked Kurt too.
Yeah,
he was 27. Put a gun in his mouth. And then the list of those of that Seattle grunge, that Gen X, Lane Staley. I mean, Chris Cornell. The girl from Hole. I mean, you know, finding her in a bathtub. Lane Staley didn't find him for a week. He was laying dead in his apartment. Yikes. I mean, that's horrific. Andrew Wood, who was a friend of his, you know, from Mother Love Bone pre Pearl Jam. Two of the guys from Pearl Jam were in Mother Love Bone, and Andrew Wood died. They were roommates, him and Chris. The whole Temple of the... Not the whole album, but that Temple of the Dog record, there's two specific songs that are aimed right at him.
Tormented people, man.
Yeah, they really were. Is it, you know, it's just... I don't know, man. It's just mind-boggling. It's been heavy on my mind since I read the news.
Wow. I gotta say, man, I feel kind of bad. He did make my most overrated list, man. We did overrated and underrated a couple months ago. I put Chris as an overrated singer. I'm sticking by it.
An overrated singer or an overrated...
A little bit of both.
...artist.
I found, Pat, that a couple times I saw Chris live, he wasn't able to hit the notes that he did on record, you know?
He struggled when I saw him. He did. I mean, he's 50.
Yeah.
That's not easy to do. I mean, there's a handful of people that can still do that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Especially saying that style.
Yeah.
You know, I got to say, though, he's got a couple of songs. I love the whole Super Unknown album. Oh, you know, I love it. I just, my two cents was that his work went downhill after that. Was my two cents. I thought that was his nadir, you know.
Okay.
But, I mean, I loved Outshined and Rusty Cage. Those two songs are like Jumping Jack Flesh level badass.
You seem to be preaching them for a while. Bad Boy Finger came out. You were fucking preaching Soundgarden for a while.
Yeah, I loved
around
it for
91, you were all about Soundgarden.
I really was.
Bad Motor Finger. That opening note to Outshined is...
I remember when you first heard Soundgarden, man. You called me. I don't know if we were hanging out. And you're like, dude, you got to hear Soundgarden. And I remembered I had known about Soundgarden in the 80s because a few of our friends... back in the day, they were listening to Soundgarden before they were big, and they just kind of we equated them as a metal band, which in essence they were.
Yeah. I think they were, but
in that crossover period where metal kind of, before there was grunge, quote unquote, if you have to hang labels,
brooding,
before we were hanging labels on things, but they kind of straddled that period of the decline of metal and the beginnings of what became grunge.
But
they were much more real than they were. They weren't superficial the way metal was.
Right.
There was obviously people were hungry for something real, and that's why they connected with people like Kurt Cobain and Eddie Vedder.
Yeah, and it was more cerebral, more sincere.
And Cornell. Now they say that grunge killed hair metal, but I think hair metal kind of extinguished itself.
It was dying.
Yeah,
it was on the ropes, and that was the knockout blow.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at those guys now, Poison's touring. Are they still in the getup that they were in the 80s? You possibly can't do it. I mean, they're still touring on goddamn song Every Rose Has Its Thorn.
Sure.
I want to punch him every time he sings that fucking song. Every time he shows up someplace with an acoustic guitar and a bandana and a cowboy hat on his fucking head, I want to choke the living shit out of him.
Yeah, we're in agreement on that, man.
Hey, you know what? I mean, it wasn't everybody's cup of tea, and I'm glad because we could actually sit here and discuss... you know, why maybe we didn't like him, why we did like him. And that's the beauty of the trio, of this trio, I think. You know, I mean, we respect each other's opinion on artists, bands, whatever. You know?
I think the big critique of grunge and the word that gets thrown around a lot in connection with people like Kurt Cobain and more recently Chris is the word depression. And it's always this underlying current that just kind of snakes its way through grunge music, depression. Everybody, you know, where it's the big thing, like that article that you were wanted to talk about.
Yeah,
it was music to brood by, man.
Generation X's big contribution to civilization is depression and
suicide
and grunge
and suicide and heroin addiction.
Grunge and depression
and heroin addiction. Yep. I mean, everybody's—it's like the new hot fucking thing to do.
Yeah,
it's crazy. I forgot to mention Shannon Hoon from Blind Melon. Another guy.
Yeah.
Another dude died on a tour bus, man.
I do not have that record. I want that record.
I can burn your copy of the CD.
I love that CD. I want that. Everybody says it's awesome.
You know, there's the one obvious hit is the Happy Feet. Yeah. But there's a song on that record called Tones of Home. It's fucking outrageous. So good. Wow. So good. Yeah. I was coming out of the bar when he died. I remember hearing it. Q104 broke it. I was warming my car up. And there's like, Shannon Hoon from Blind Melon. I'm like, and that goes back to how popular that whole music movement was, because this is on regular radio. You're not going to hear about that right now. And because Shannon Hoon wasn't like Chris Cornell.
No, Shannon Hoon.
No, but they were big for like 3 weeks.
Yeah, they had a hot minute.
1993.
Yeah, 15 minutes. I always go back to that one of the greatest concerts I ever saw. PNC Bank, man. Soundgarden, Blind Melon. Opening up for Neil Young. Yeah. What a night, man.
Yep.
That was a killer lineup. Hell.
Yeah. But Mike, you're right, Mike, though. You brought me back, man. I really was enthusiastic about Soundgarden for a little bit in the early 90s. I think they kind of let me down a little bit because I really didn't like Audioslave.
And that
at all.
Was before Super Unknown came out. They were Soundgarden was between albums.
Bad Motor
when
Finger
that show
was
happened.
Record, yeah.
Bad Motor Finger was already like 2 years old.
Right.
And they ended up somehow opening up for Neil Young. They were on tour with Neil Young and Blind Melon. And I would say...
Maybe they had the songs for Super Unknown already.
That I couldn't tell you. They were probably recording it or about to record it. I don't know the time.
The timeline
is summer of 93, and Super Unknown came out, I guess, in the spring of 94.
Mm.
If I'm not mistaken,
sounds about right. I've been listening to Super Unknown a lot actually lately. You know, just because of everything that's happened. My wave on that song just killed
it. That was my peak with Soundgarden. Yeah, I think that's where they peaked. That was where I was into them the most.
They were all over. They were everywhere at that point.
Yeah.
That's to ever go to the French Maid Go-Go Bar, man.
Oh, hell yeah.
That was one of the few go-go bars that played rock and roll still, man. And I remember that's the first time I heard Outshine. I was like, what is that, man? I couldn't wait for him to play Outshine.
That shit was killer, right?
Yeah, yeah. that was killer.
The opening note to that, too, man. It's just like, whoa.
Yeah.
You're in for a ride. Buckle up. Song. Buckle up, bitches. We're going for a ride.
Yeah. Yeah, we are. So, rest in peace, brother Chris.
Absolutely.
Anybody else? He's up there jamming with the.
I know.
Jamming with Elvis.
I know Vic, who listens to us religiously, was a big Soundgarden fan. I know he's feeling that loss too, man. He was on. I know Vic. He was on Vic's list. I don't know, man. Like I said, it hit me. This one hit me hard. Definitely did. It takes you back, you know, when you start thinking back and like where you were and what you were doing when you heard different things, and man, it's just unbelievable. And going back to what Mike said, I mean, it seems like we're like seeing into the future with some of these people, man. I mean, you know,
I'm afraid to pick out like to announce what our topics are. It seems like every time we announce our topics ahead of time, something fucked up happens.
Yeah, the Chuck one and this one, that's mind blowing. And then obviously, and then, like I said, Prince, you know, like right before we started.
The politics episode just was not meant to be.
Yeah.
Then there was one that we announced, the Christmas episode, and we hyped that up, and then that fell to shit.
I have something to say about that Christmas episode, too, man. I really messed it up. I went back and listened to that again.
How did you mess it up?
I think I messed up the Steely Dan intro.
What did you do?
I think I said that was their first record.
No.
I think I might have. I'm going to have to re-listen to
that. I think I
would have
caught that. Man.
I had to re-listen to that.
I think I
would have
caught that.
I have to listen to that again. I was like, "Did I say that?" Because I, for some reason, I might have been listening to my iPod, and it came on, and it brought me back to that episode. And I was like, "Did I say that this was on their debut album?" I'm gonna re-listen to it now because it's killing me. And if I did, I should be fucking shot where I sit.
I have to, later on in the show, I'm going to harken back to the Christmas episode.
You know what? As much as I sit there and I have to listen to this stuff over and over again, it's like kind of like, you know, you don't, obviously with digital audio software, there is no rewind, fast forward. You know, you're moving a mouse, all right? And you're clicking on various different parts of the track. So the equivalent of rewinding, as many times as I have to listen to certain parts of our shows when I'm editing or mixing or whatever, I hear things over and over and over again sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And if he did say that, I think I would have caught that.
I hope so.
You would have caught.
I hope so. It's just got me like nervous. I'm like, wow, if I in fact said that, then I'm an idiot. I mean,
being
really.
The fucking anal asshole that I am with little things like that, I would have been like,
Yeah, but being a Steely Dan, but being a Steely Dan fan, I should have fucking known.
We could either cut shit out, or what do they do in a newspaper when they have to correct one of their mistakes that they made from an era? There's a word for that.
Wait, say it again.
There's a word for that when, like the New York Times, for instance, will correct mistakes that it made in the previous.
Redaction.
Thank you, Peanut Gallery.
Yeah, or corrections.
Redacted it. I think redacted is.
That's our producer back there. You know the Van Halen record. Come on, Dave, give us a break. Yeah. Hey, one day, one break coming up.
That guy back there in hiding will appear.
That's Lurker.
On the Grateful Dead episode, the forthcoming Grateful Dead episode.
Lurker hanging out in the background.
Lurker. That's our chef. He's back there cooking his eggs.
Chef Lurker.
So, Chris Cornell is a part of what we call. What's going on? Our longtime listeners know that what's going on is how we start the show before we get into the big topic at hand. What else is going on, boys? It's been a couple of weeks. Mother's Day threw a little wrench into our usual procedures.
Well, May was a long month, so we could afford that extra week. We had five weeks in May, turns out. So we could afford that extra week between shows. And we still have an extra week in May. So if something happened this week, we could have canceled very comfortably, but it also would have meant doing
too much
one week, you know, because we do have a Beatles episode something scheduled for the first week of June.
I gotta tell you guys, April 29th was a fantastic day for me, man. Full of great rock and roll music from morning till night. Thanks to my girlfriend who got the tickets, and she's insisting that I give her credit for this. My girlfriend, Nicole.
That's all good.
Got the tickets. Now you can turn it off. Am I good? Am I too close? How are my levels looking? Am I too...
That's where you should be.
That's where I should be. All right. Really? Man, an inch makes
this
a...
This means you're bobbling around, man.
Yeah, they're backing out.
What a difference an inch makes.
That's what she
girls
said.
Always say. Yeah, man. We first of all made our way to the WFMU record fair in Brooklyn. I was telling Mike, Pat, man, every vinyl record you could possibly imagine is there. If you have a wish list, go there with it.
Wow.
Yeah, wow is what I was saying, including stuff that I didn't even know I wanted, I found. You know, so much fun. We got there a little bit late, so Nicole was kind of hurrying me, but I was glad she did because it was obvious that I was going to spend like $500 or $700. Like, I could have spent, you name it. We were only there for an hour, you know. I got a couple of things. This has been on my wish list for a long time. The Isley Brothers 3+3.
Look at that.
Who's that lady?
Yeah,
you guys remember the context in which the Isley Brothers came up in an earlier episode of Rock Under Fire? You guys remember the context of the Isley Brothers? They came up once.
I don't.
Were they in the overrated, underrated?
No, they were not.
See
how deep your knowledge is of the show.
I don't
I'll cut to the chase, man. Isley Brothers were the only cool band I can think of from Cincinnati.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. So
once I edit and mix, I give it one listen, and that's it. That's it. I'm done.
Isley Brothers, highly recommended. This album's 3+3, really good. I was also reading some Time Life History of Rock and Roll book not long ago, talking about a guy's name that I never heard of before I read this book, Winoni Harris.
Right.
Winoni Harris. According to this big, they made a big deal about
and
Winoni
Roy
Harris,
Brown.
Man. Apparently he was Hendrix before Hendrix, man. Just did things with the electric guitar, you know, in the 50s, you know.
Does his name come up as far as anybody citing him as an influence? If anybody of note that has mentioned him, where you...
Other than the aforementioned
Hendrix,
his
name
man,
caught your eye?
Not that I know. I know very little about him. I remember reading that article and boop, oh, there it is. It's a Winoni Harris. It's called Battle of the Blues. One side is Winoni Harris. One side is a guy named Roy Brown. You want to know something, though? The Winoni Harris is him singing to a piano accompaniment. There's no fucking guitar on there at all. Decent, nevertheless. And finally, one reggae album I always wanted. Been on my list for 10 years. I got this Black Heart Man from Bunny Wailer, man. One of the original members of Bob Marley's Wailer. From the first band, the really good one. I mean, Peter Tosh and this dude.
Right.
This dude, Bunny Wailer, was finally, I mean, they're on the cusp of, you know, global domination, superstardom, and this motherfucker does not want to leave Jamaica, man. He does not want to leave Babylon, hated the cold, and just pursued his solo career basically because of that. Like,
wow.
Didn't want to.
What year is this? I'm just kind of curious
as to
when this came out. This is where I need my glasses. I have reading glasses now, and I always forget to carry them around with me. 1976. So this is the year that Rasta.
What are you gonna say, Rastaman Vibration?
Vibrations, yeah.
Yeah, this is after his. That's after his time. So that's that part of the day, man. Just got those three records. Can't wait for next year. Next year, you're going with me, bro.
And you're in Brooklyn for the day. Brooklyn's an awesome.
Yeah,
you know, that's an awesome day in itself.
But that was only half my day, you know. From the record fair, we make our way over to. The Music Hall of Williamsburg. I don't know if you guys were ever at that venue before.
I've never been.
But again, the girlfriend is really enthused about this show. She got us the tickets. I know nothing about this character named Billy Miller. Billy Miller set up an independent record label called Norton Records. He died recently. And the show was put on by Lenny Kaye. Of Patti Smith fame. Lenny MC'd the entire night, came on in between each act and spoke, played. Bottom line, going into it, I was a little skeptical because of the age a lot of these stars. Like, this record label was like a huge like garage rock label in the 60s and 70s. So I know like all these acts are dudes, you know.
Lenny is a big, he kind of champions that whole thing the same way that Steve Van Zandt does.
Right. Does Lenny have like a box set of his own that he put out?
That I don't know about.
I believe that he does. But At any rate, man, what a lot of fun that was. All the acts did not play like old men, man. My fears were not legitimate, man. I mean, these guys, one after another, rocked out. So much fun. What great songs. I'm talking about. God knows how many songs were played during the course of the evening. It was a long show, 40 or 50 songs maybe, one after another. So wow. Good. It didn't end. God, I want to say it didn't end until like 1 in the morning. Everybody left like totally, you know, just totally happy, full of glee, you know. Want to know a lot more about these artists, surviving members of the Flaming Groovies, surviving members of the Fleshtones, the Dictators, a bunch of different guys were there. Highlight of the night, though, was a younger band. I'm not sure what they had to do with the Norton record label, but there's a band called Daddy Longlegs, three-piece, right? The drummer is playing with no cymbals, right? He's just got, a bass drum. He's playing with maracas, too, not sticks, right? One guitar player who's playing, like, an electrified acoustic. No bass player, yeah. And one singer, crazy, like 7-foot-long, skinny-ass white boy, like wearing a suit, but singing and playing the craziest, nastiest, like fire and brimstone straight out of a gospel church in Georgia. Like,
yeah,
you know, what's that microphone? That magic...
The bullet mic?
Is that what it is? Magic Dick used to play the... It was in the shape of a cone. Old school microphone. Not the silvery one you're thinking of. Remember Magic Dick from Jay Giles?
Yeah, man? Of course.
He used to blow into that. It was like a cone-looking thing.
I couldn't tell you what that is.
But I have no idea.
Yeah, but at any rate, that didn't help. It was like extra distorted, so it just gave his voice.
For anybody
like,
wondering, Magic Dick is the harmonica player from the Jay Giles
that's
band.
That's right. Let's clarify that. But gave his microphone, I guess, gave his voice an extra distorted sound. Just an amazing singer, catchy fucking songs. They rocked the F out.
Daddy Longlegs.
And a dude blows a wicked harmonica. You know, not a John Popper style. But one song was Motorcycle Madness. And he's on the harmonica doing a motorcycle sound. Like,
wow.
And Motorcycle Madness. You'd tear your hair out like, hell yeah.
It's almost like a more recent version of, like, you remember... When you said people walked out, you know, really curious about some of these artists, it's almost like a more recent version of the Harry Smith anthology when we went to see David Johansen.
Yes.
And he had done his band, the Harry Smiths.
Right.
And he was talking about all these forgotten, you know, blues artists and just roots, American roots music.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in the 60s, during the folk revival, they put out this Harry Smith anthology, which a lot of... was a large part of the foundation of some of our favorite artists. Bob Dylan drew a lot from that anthology.
Yeah.
So that's what I think of. When
I was actually trying to think of the Harry Smith anthology, thinking about Lenny Kaye's. And Lenny Kaye did an anthology of garage music, which I think is probably... You know, similar to that.
A much more recent version of, because I mean, the Harry Smith stuff goes back to, you know, this guy was kind of an archivist and he was preserving a lot of these artists that, you know, like who today knows Doc Boggs?
Who? You know? Who's Doc Boggs?
He's one of those artists.
Yeah.
In the anthology.
Right. Oh, but at any rate, though, man, all night long, people were just singing this guy Billy Miller's praises. You know, they would not let you forget who the show was all about. One artist after another telling you these heartfelt stories, and a lot of people in the audience seemed to know these songs, seemed to know who he was. I was kind of like one of the dorks that didn't know shit. It was an education for me. I didn't know anything about this stuff.
Well, I would think most people in the audience probably didn't know a good percentage of
the music. But there were some that did. You could tell, you know? But what a fun day, man. Just full of rock and roll from beginning to end, you know? We came home so tired and so happy, man. Such an entertaining show. Can't wait for the next year's FMU Vinyl Festival either. Really good stuff.
Sweet.
Taking up a lot of time tonight, ain't I?
That's all right. It's a good what's going on.
So we polled the audience on, this was your suggestion for the topic.
Yes, it was.
Because I've been hogging up the topics a lot lately.
Topic hog.
What was your topic? You wanted to do best singers, vocalists, slash frontmen.
Top 10 singers.
singers. The criteria was kind of loose on this one.
Right. That's why.
I think we all kind of came up with our own personal criteria,
what
I
is
guess.
Yours?
I guess when we put the post out for the audience, I just kind of said it's a loose criteria based on, I guess, your own personal like of the artist's voice. I guess if you know just overall performance as a front man,
yeah,
/ woman.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, what was yours?
One thing I got to tell you about mine is you had to sing. You know, mine, with the exception of maybe two, are singers, you know, range.
Ability.
Yeah. Vocal ability.
Which is right. Why guys like Ray Davies and Rick Ocasek, for instance, love them. They're
See, I didn't go there. I didn't go there.
Yeah.
I didn't go there at all.
I definitely didn't go there. Yeah. I agree, the ability, mm-hmm. but I also like the frontman aspect of the singer as well.
Right.
You know, so, you know, there's one of them who's probably not one of the greatest singers, uh-huh. you know, dollar for dollar. But goddamn, he was a front man. All he right. was the front man.
I'm looking forward to this, man. Yeah. But I have to love, from my point of view, I had to love the music that you made. That's why Freddie Mercury didn't make my list. Hey, he's brilliant. Yada yada.
I mean, we're talking about vocal ability. Like a bunch of them are like not even hard rock singers. They're just kind of like, you know, you get people like, you know, Steve Perry's got a great voice, but is he necessarily hard rock? Is he, you know, is he some more yeah. like a pop singer?
See, Steve Perry would not make my list for that reason. I'm not much of a Journey fan. Therefore,
yeah, but I'm saying if it's vocal ability, it kind of opens it up, you mm-hmm. know, to
right.
a lot
more.
Of things.
It
you
opens
know,
it up
are we
more,
talking
yeah.
about Mickey Thomas from the Jefferson Starship?
Right, right. Well, it wouldn't, you know what? Like I always say, you know, like my...
Some of the best singers aren't necessarily some of the best...
Which wouldn't stop them from making my list.
Frontmen or vocalists.
I get, like we always say, I got
to be interesting. It'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Broad umbrella for what is rock and roll.
Because
so.
I am definitely, by no means, is mine about vocal ability, man.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. All
right, man.
I want to throw my first one out there because I've been dying to tell you two. I threw Mick Jagger on my list.
You did?
I did. Because he's just, he's the front man's front man. The guy just never stopped moving. He's constantly, you know, he might not be the greatest singer vocally, right. But God damn, man, he's a front man.
There
I mean,
go,
he
bro.
Was an excellent front man. And you guys know I have a love-hate relationship with the Stones.
Right.
But man, it's you know, I've seen some video, you know, researching the show a little bit, and I was like, man, you got to throw Mick Jagger out
right.
there. I even talked to my aunt who has seen the Stones millions of times, like early Stones. You know, I mean, and... She just loves the Stones.
Yeah.
There's just she's like Mick Jagger was the singer of singers.
Uh-huh.
That's it.
All right.
End of conversation. I was
all
like,
right.
okay. So she schooled me a little
I'm looking
bit.
Looking forward to this, man. Naturally, people at home, these things are controversial. Any top 10 or top 100 list, I guess they're designed to piss you off. They're designed to be controversial. There's going to be people we leave off.
Are we going
to
do ours first, and then we'll do the audience? We'll like talk about the audiences, what their picks were. Let's do ours first. And
do
then
ours
we'll
first?
I think that's a good idea.
And then if ours kind of connects with theirs, then we'll kind of tally
yeah.
them up and said with the overall, with the, you know, because... It's very clear out of our listeners who came in at the top, man. You know, we'll talk about that a little bit
should,
later.
Should, okay. Should we do right. listeners?
They want to go. You want to go first, man? No. Well, if we'll talk about ours first because it'll give our listeners incentive to listen to the end.
Now, let's you know, like you said about shaking it up. Should we just ramble off our 10? And
yeah,
and
we'll just go, we'll just take turns and go and we'll just
you
want to say
do,
our 10, man.
You want to do that? Or you
yeah,
want to
do
like
do that?
I was saying, why don't we do like
because
our?
I don't have an order for mine. I just have just
yeah.
10 random names.
I did make an order. I did try to the best of my ability make an
right,
order.
So you count yours down and then
yeah.
we'll talk about
I
ours.
I definitely
yeah.
didn't. I just
yeah. I just
10
have 10
names.
I just picked 10 names for various different reasons.
Okay then. So what will you boys have me do? You want me to just go straight 10?
Go
10,
go
down
10
to
9.
One?
Yeah, just go 10 to 1.
All right, 10 down to 1. And then if we want to, we'll talk about afterward.
Sure.
Individual.
Yeah.
Okay, here it is. Number 10 actually was responsible for kicking off John Fogerty. John Fogerty does not make my list thanks to the inclusion of number 10. There was another big one that got kicked off. But number 10 is Rob Halford. Rob Halford from Judas Priest, man. And... Well, we'll get into details later. Number 9, Harry Nilsson. Right? Why is everybody, am I saying his name right? Is it Nilsson or Nilsson?
Yeah, Nilsson.
Nilsson, Harry Nilsson.
Yeah.
Number eight. This one is not famous for his range necessarily. And might come as a little bit of a surprise. At left field, I'm going way back to Howlin' Wolf.
Okay.
Blues singer.
Great voice.
Yeah. Number seven, I'll make Tracy happy.
Bjork?
Bjork is my number seven greatest singer. I'm standing by.
that's Tracy's new drinking word.
Yeah. Number six might come as a little bit of a surprise, too, but I always adored Bob Marley's voice. Bob Marley comes in at number six for him, you guys. Him and Howlin' Wolf are the two that don't have the outrageous range, right? Number five, Robin Zander from Cheap Trick. Mm,
that's a really good one.
Number four, Ann Wilson from Heart.
Another good one.
At number three, here's where things get really hard to determine who's better, who's best. Number three, I got Prince. Number two, I have Little Richard. Number one, I have James Brown.
All right.
Yeah. That's an interesting face you're making, Pat.
Quite a list. It's quite a list. I don't disagree with a lot of it at all. Not at all. That was a very interesting list. It was very broad. You know,
there were several broads on it.
I think we agree on a few of them.
Well, absolutely.
It's not even about agree, man.
We're bound to.
You know, you have your own reasons for your
sure
whatever your criteria
right
was,
right,
man. And all great voices. But I what I meant to say is we have a few of the same.
I would imagine so. It would be impossible not to.
Yeah.
I only have one.
I crossed over.
But that's interesting.
Yeah.
I know Mike's going to have two or three, maybe. Let's see.
Prince could make my list, though. Prince could definitely make my list. I could try and squeeze him in if I had to.
Yeah. You got to kick somebody off.
No, I'm definitely not going to kick anybody off. But that's.
Yeah.
It could have easily.
Yeah.
He could have easily made my list.
My criteria wasn't necessarily vocal ability. There's very little vocal ability in what some of my names here. And they're not also necessarily the best frontmen, the way we think of frontmen, like, say, Freddie Mercury or Mick Jagger, although Mick is on my list. They're kind of names that kind of lent themselves to not just the history of rock and roll, but the overall longevity of rock and roll. They're in some ways what I feel is the best representation of rock music and maybe of their own particular genres.
Mm.
They're people who spawned a lot of imitators.
Mm-hmm.
And just personally, they're just very comfortable voices for me. That just kind of like, you know, like that old pair of shoes thing
right
where just kind of like,
sure,
they're just
sure
so familiar and just and FM radio of course helps growing up with rock and roll and having that whole thing. Mick Jagger is obviously one of them. I can't imagine my life without the Rolling Stones and Mick Jagger's voice.
Yeah, right, here's down, man, Jagger.
You mentioned John Fogerty, man. There would be no John Fogerty without Little Richard. And just that whole sound of Little Richard. It's the sound of the beginnings of rock and roll, and Little Richard is on my list.
Haven't we called John Fogerty the White Little Richard? Haven't
yeah, he's
done
the White
the
Little
best?
Richard.
Because
it's that traveling man, traveling band, you know?
Yeah, that traveling, natural distortion.
Traveling man with
man.
Richard, with Rick, you know, with Rick Nelson.
Man.
Yeah.
Hell
so
yeah, bro.
Little Richard. A guy named Sonny Till and the Orioles, a doo-wop, a vocal group from Baltimore that began in the late 40s. And for me, it's the beginning of doo-wop, and I was raised on doo-wop as much as I was raised on Kiss and Led Zeppelin.
Is that T-I-L-L,
bro? In my house. Sonny Till. It's the quintessential doo-wop voice. If I have to go that far back, he's the voice that kind of stands out for me. And when I went back and kind of got into the doo-wop boxes in the 90s when they came out, I kind of researched and just kind of really went into, well, what is this music? What is this stuff I've been hearing my whole life? Because my mother was always playing it. And you know, you always had like CBS on, like the old station in the kitchen.
It's funny because I have two that would be played on CBS.
But if you want to hear a good representation of Sonny Till, go to YouTube, put in Sonny Till crying in the chapel. What else? All right, well, I'll keep going. Rob Halford, the quintessential heavy metal voice, the metal god. Ronnie Spector, just some of my favorite pop music, pop songs ever written and recorded. The representative voice of Phil Spector's music, I think. So Ronnie Spector, always one of my favorite voices. Yeah. I think I'm going after voices, not so much singers, vocalists. I'm going after voices. Jerry Garcia.
Whoa!
I can't.
Didn't I see that coming? Why'd you choose Jerry Garcia? Obviously, if you just love,
they're just embedded. They're just embedded in rock and roll in the sense of just the whole history of, again, growing up with FM radio and hearing the Dead before I actually got into the Dead.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite Dead songs are Jerry songs. It's just, it's something that goes beyond the Dead, and it's something that I can't touch. I can't put my finger on it, but when I was thinking about the reasons I was choosing certain people,
comfortable pair of shoes,
Jerry pops out.
Yeah,
Jerry pops out.
Interesting, bro.
John Lennon, again, the same thing.
Great.
You know, could I say Paul? Yeah, but Paul doesn't work to say it's not the same magic that leaps out of those songs for me the way John's voice does. Paul Stanley. the first voice of rock and roll
He's
that kicked me in my ass when I was 6 years old.
Yeah.
Paul, there's no denying the power in Paul Stanley's voice. The power.
It's a shame that
and
it's
the
gone.
The passion of
and Rob Halford too, because he's on my list as well. But it's a shame
just
that it's no longer there.
The power and the passion of Paul Stanley's voice, man, is just unparalleled. In that particular, the type of music that Kiss made.
Yeah.
And again, maybe it's a childhood thing, but Kiss was the first band that really kicked my ass as a kid and said, this is, it informed my future.
This is
what
destiny.
You're going to do. Man.
Yeah. Which in turn informed mine because you got me into Kiss, bro.
Robert Plant.
Yeah,
Robert Plant is not
stealing
not
all my thunder
favorite,
now.
Not my favorite singer. There are times when I listen to Zeppelin, I'm like, you know, he kind of obviously lost his voice early. Like if you listen to some of those Zeppelin shows from 77, as early as 75, Plant was not doing the same things he was doing in 69, 70. But it's still the voice of Led Zeppelin, and Led Zeppelin is the sound of our lifetime, man.
Yeah.
It's just such a major chunk of everything that we've listened to, everything that we are, everything that we aspired to, you know, as kids growing up with guitars and learning to play guitars and wanting to be in bands. They're a staple. You can't get rid of them. You can't deny them. You could say, well, FM radio killed Zeppelin. They're passe. They're this. They're that. They're grandfather music. It's fucking Led Zeppelin, man. Fuck you. And my last one is Patti Smith. Probably
Hell
my
yeah.
favorite. If I have to pick a favorite voice, just the amount of hours I've spent listening to Patti's voice, both live and on record. Just Patty talking, just her talking voice sounds like her singing voice. It's just there's something in it that's it's angelic, it's scary, it's furious, you know, it's just tired and it's energetic, it's just everything. And she's probably one of my two or three favorite artists, obviously.
She might be.
So yeah,
I think she's.
That's my list
for me. Patty's the greatest
that's my
female.
List.
Female
it wasn't about fun, man.
Ever. No, but that's a bro.
Mine are definitely in no order.
Yeah,
I want to write yours down.
Yeah, there's no way I could put that in an order.
I'm gonna just try
not
and throw.
Easy.
I gotta try and get the repeats out right away. Mick Jagger.
Right.
Now,
are we all in agreement on Mick?
Yeah.
Mick didn't make my list.
He didn't. Okay. He didn't make.
I do want to see which ones make our list.
If I had to pick a front man, I think it might be Mick.
But Mick is definitely on my list.
Despite the fact that you're not a big Stones guy, Pat. You're
Mick. You gotta pay homage to to the Stones there. Robert Plant, obviously, definitely made my list. The guy was like a siren. Rob Halford. Those are the three repeats.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, no, Paul Stanley. I forgot Paul Stanley.
Did Halford make all three of our lists?
Yes.
He did, huh?
Yes.
I wouldn't have predicted that. That's
Paul, and Paul Stanley made my list as well.
Okay, so I'm factoring this in with the audience.
What is that, four?
I'm just writing
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm up to four, right?
You're up to four. Okay. Jagger, Plant, Halford, and Stanley.
Bruce Dickinson from Iron Maiden.
I figured Bruce was coming after Halford.
That guy is just a fucking air raid siren. I mean, come on. And he's still doing it. You know what I mean? And he's still doing it well.
Yeah.
Chris Cornell opened our show. He absolutely did. He was like one of my favorite singers in the last, I don't know, fucking 25 years. He's that good. He really was.
I'm just tallying these things up. I'm adding yours to the listeners.
I don't think I realized what a Cornell guy you were.
Love him.
Tonight,
love
man.
Him, man.
I'm
saddened by his death.
Bro. I'm sorry, bro.
Marvin Gaye.
Nice.
You know, what's going on? Yeah. The guy just kills it, man. There's one of my CBS ones. There's my nod to Mike. Smokey fucking Robinson.
Mm, nice.
That guy is just, it's like putting a hot knife through butter listening to that guy sing, man. Wow. That's like, you know, you used Angelic before. I listen to him sometimes and I'm like, man. You know, and it was weird because I didn't want to throw the Temptations in there because they're not really, you know, they all sang. So I'm like, okay, and I'm listening to more Motown at that point. I had it on, you know, I had like a list on my iPod. And Smokey came on. I was like, it's got to be him. I mean, I have to throw Smokey in there. The guy is just, he's fucking butter, man. You know?
Yeah.
He's one of those singers.
For sure.
Who am I missing? Where am I up to?
Let's see. You're up to eight. You got two more.
I had two more. I'm going to throw David Lee Roth out there. Okay. He can't sing. He couldn't sing then, and he definitely can't sing now. But when you were going to a Van Halen show, you knew what you were going to see.
Yeah.
And it was going to be fucking David Lee Roth wiggling and shaking and fucking fringed and shirtless and let's go have a good time.
I can't imagine David Lee Roth ever not being 100% on and
never.
Locked in.
Dave was
show.
Dave.
Like, not feeling it. I can't picture that with him.
And my final one was another great American singer, in my opinion, and that's Steven Tyler. Loved, you know, as much as you said about Kiss, I feel the same way about Aerosmith. I mean, my uncle was listening to Aerosmith records, you know what I mean? And I was like, ooh, that's cool. What is that? And then you start getting into
Was that your first curiosity?
Curiosity. And he had the Bad Out of Hell album, too. So, like, that album cover, you start looking at that album cover, you're like, what is that about? And you're starting to drift into different things. But Aerosmith, I was like, what is he listening to? And my mother kind of was like, don't worry about it. Just listen to something else. Here's some Eagles records. You know what I mean?
Nice and safe. Steven Tyler. Yeah, I mean, the quality of his voice really changed throughout the years. I think even the early Aerosmith, his voice was a lot different than the popular stuff they did in the late
80s.
Yeah, yeah, you know.
It's almost like he adapted.
Yeah.
Yeah, just the whole, the whole band for that matter. I can't listen to, I love early Aerosmith. Like his first Get Your Wings and Toys in the Attic,
Toys,
Rocks,
yeah,
those
man.
Three albums. Even some stuff off Draw the Line that I love.
Yeah, I like Draw the Line. Oh, yeah.
He's just, you know, he's gritty and he's just, you know, front man. You know, he had the whole deal, you know, whereas Roth just had the showmanship, really. I mean, obviously the guy could sing. He wouldn't be a fucking in a worldwide band. But I think Steven had a voice and Steven, you know, and he had that charisma and had all that, you know, flash. You know, I really, you know, enjoyed it. I didn't talk enough about Marvin Gaye either. I mean, you know, the guy was such a tragedy. I would love to have seen what he had come out with.
I would have liked to have articulated a little bit more on Jerry Garcia and explained that a little bit more. But there's just something in Jerry's voice that is just, you can't, it's, there's just no words. Mm. And again, he's not my favorite singer. The Dead by no means are not my favorite band.
Yeah.
But there's something in his voice that does those things that Smokey Robinson does when I hear China Doll or any, you know.
I agree.
Forget it, man.
I mean, like I said, the Temptations, my Motown, and you know, I probably could have squeezed Diana Ross in there someplace, but because my Temptations really is Ross and the powerhouses of Motown were Diana Ross, Smokey Robinson, Marvin Gaye, and the Temptations.
Yeah.
You know? But the Temptations, all five of them sang, so how do you break that one down, you know?
Good. Yeah, we got to post all of our choices, man. Get people riled up on Facebook.
Yeah. But you know? Mike's got it broken down, so I'm interested to...
So we have one. So this...
None of us said Freddie, by the way, either.
None of us said Freddie.
Which is... Yeah, that's... We'll probably get some flack for that.
Came in really big.
I thought one of you guys would have had.
He was very close to my list. Very close. Probably closer, like you said, how you bumped somebody. Right. You should bump Bjork and fucking get Freddie on your list.
The sounds that come out of Bjork's voice, man. I'm surprised no one else said Ann.
The ones that come out of my ass.
Yeah.
I'm surprised no one else said Ann Wilson. I'm surprised I was alone on that one. For me, man.
She was a good one. Yeah. I don't know women. I have no women on my list.
Sexist.
Yeah, sexist pig that I am. We're tallying up some totals here that Mikey D is looking at.
All right, so I have the totals of everyone. So this is our totals combined with our listeners. And there's a big, I guess there's a tie because there's a lot of names that came in with one vote, and we have a big tie at two. So the ties that have two votes are Paul Stanley, Bruce Dickinson, Paul Rogers, Janis Joplin, and David Bowie.
But now Paul Stanley made our list. So
between you and me.
We're the only two who said Paul, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
So maybe I should... Well, I mean, this is a total of everything.
Of everybody,
so,
yeah.
But our listeners are the ones that put the winners over the top.
No shit.
Yeah. Actually, and we have the ones with three votes. We're kind of our votes combined with the listeners, and that's Chris Cornell, Robert Plant, Ann Wilson.
Plant only had three, so that was me, you, and one person.
And Rob Halford.
Wow, and Rob Halford was the same.
And we have our clear winner, which somebody mentioned 2 minutes ago, is Freddie Mercury.
Yeah.
And that was from our listeners alone who voted in Freddie Mercury, and he just...
He didn't make any of our lists.
Why was he not on your list, fellas? Man, Mike, I know you're a big Queen guy.
I love Queen. I love early Queen. I like Queen up to Jazz, and I'll even say The Game.
All right.
Freddie Mercury, great singer, great frontman. Love the guy. But he doesn't have the qualities that would make my list.
Mm.
You know what I mean? He doesn't have the stuff I love about a lead singer. He's not jagged or raspy enough. His voice was almost operatic.
Yeah. I was going to say
it was too clear.
That's why
he enunciated every word. He was a great performer, man. Don't get me wrong.
Absolutely.
Didn't have any black in him.
He doesn't.
No soul.
He doesn't have the qualities that I would look for in a singer. That would make my list.
And you weren't a big Queen guy either?
I love Queen. I do. I like
Queen.
Them a lot.
I love Queen too.
I can play anything by them. I'm like, yeah, we'll groove this.
You could tell me he's the best front man, and I will not argue with you.
Yeah, huh?
I will not argue with you. But he's not going to make my list as a singer.
Yeah,
it's just his voice.
He was a lock for you guys. I thought he was.
Yeah, I think he was too polished.
Polished is another word.
Too polished. Yeah. You know, that raspiness and that grunginess and that warble that you get down in the deep pits of your throat.
Yeah.
I came close to adding Jim Morrison just for the fact that he was so different than, you know, what was going on. And you know what I mean? He was so, the mystique behind him. And that adds to, you know, that all adds to it. I also, though, wanted to shift directions and get more of a... go a little heavier, you know, like Dickinson and Halford and Paul Stanley.
Little Richard got two votes. So
framework.
Little Richard in there because I voted for Little Richard too. And so, one of our listeners put Little Richard as well.
Only one listener. Who was that, do you know?
Right now, I don't know because I didn't take names. But some of the other names that came up were Stevie Nicks, Rivers Cuomo.
Yeah, Aaron said Rivers, he likes Weezer.
Stevie Nicks.
Jackson Brown, Tina Turner, Grace Slick, Sammy Hagar, Brad Delp. Steve Perry also had two votes. I forgot about him. Ronnie James Dio, Kurt Cobain.
Dio, I forgot.
Steven Tyler had two votes as well. I forgot that you. Ian Gillan, John Fogerty, Debbie Harry, Prince also had two votes. Pete Steele, Ian Curtis, Jim Morrison, Jeff Tate, Eddie Vedder, Joe Cocker.
Pete Steele was a good
Lane
one.
Lane Staley, and Greg Lake.
Pete Steele was a good one.
Who's Greg Lake?
Greg Lake, Emerson, Lake, and Palmer.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah.
Very unique voice, Peter Steele.
So there you have it.
There you have it, folks. Yeah.
I posted the trailer for the coming disco episode.
That was fun to cut that. It really was.
Yeah. So I don't know. This Bjork is turning into a really controversial figure on this show.
I'm going to start stalking her.
It's becoming this controversial running joke now that goes back to our first episode. Yeah. It's becoming more and more upfront.
Regarding Bjork?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Tracy's making it that way.
Yeah. I have to admit, we know we all loved the Sugar Cubes when they first came out. You know, you loved it, man. Cold Sweat was an awesome song.
The first Sugar Cubes album is one of my favorite albums of the 80s. And my nephew is one of my nephew's favorite toys because he's going through all my vinyl now, and he wants the green record. I want the green record. Yeah. And he pulls
out
the green vinyl?
It's
green. It's a green cover.
Oh, okay, the cover.
With the orange label. The green record is actually the orange.
Life's Too Good, it's called.
Yeah, the orange label.
We all loved it, but among our circle of friends, I'm the only guy that stayed with her. Everybody else bailed at that point. I kind of stayed with Bjork. Don't love all her stuff. As a matter of fact, I bought her most recent album, critically acclaimed. I listened to it twice, dude. Yeah, I threw it aside.
I don't dislike Bjork, man.
She basically has three albums I love.
I just can't listen to her.
I cannot.
Here's the deal, man. Yeah, she is... among the two most challenging artists that I love. You're not going to love it the first time you hear it. It might even strike you as discordant.
But I challenge anybody to listen to Cold Sweat off the first Sugar Cubes album and tell me that's not a great song.
It's great. And her and Anna, I'm into this band called Animal Collective, too, which I think are really challenging when you first get into
it. Why didn't you play some Animal Collective, man?
Yeah. Really challenging artist, but the payoff is huge when you do... When it hits you, and hey man,
what's one of our most modern vocalists on these lists? Anybody modern on them?
The newest vocalist I would say is
Rivers Cuomo.
Rivers Cuomo, and he's already 25 years since
he's been around already.
Rock voice. Yeah.
Hey, you know, it's just our audience is like us. They don't give a rat's ass about anything that's come out since the 90s.
Yeah.
And seriously, can anybody tell me the lead singer of the Black Keys?
Nope.
Does anybody know the singer of Animal Collective?
Nope.
Remember when you used to go to Spencer's and get posters of Led Zeppelin and you used to see posters of, you know, the Stones? Are there any posters in Spencer's of the singer of the Black Keys?
Nope. You get sex toys.
Are kids buying those posters?
Hey, this is Spencer's, the point.
Spencer's has changed. They went from fucking black velvet fucking blacklight posters to dildos.
And I have to get the dig in there, man. I have to get this in there. Because, you know, it wouldn't be Rock Under Fire without me saying
it's
this.
Our mission statement.
Rock is not dead. Rock is dead as we once knew it. There's lots of rock and roll out there. There's lots of bands out there. But they're all boasting about selling out clubs. Okay, to get any real exposure, they have to play a festival. Okay, and if U2 is the headliner of a festival, and a festival selling 150,000 tickets, and U2 can sell out a stadium 2-3 nights in any given city at 60,000 seats, U2 is already counting. They're accounting for over half that festival crowd.
Yeah.
So what does that tell you? If you got 100 bands on a festival, I guarantee you...
they're not coming to see Stinkfinger.
I fucking challenge you to prove me wrong that 5 or less of those acts out of 100 are headline acts, man.
Like I said, they're not coming.
Arena or a stadium.
They're not coming to see Stinkfinger. They're there to see you, too.
Okay. What does that mean if most of those bands are only playing clubs? It means, well, they're still respectable. They haven't been touched by the man yet. Okay, great. All well and good. You could go out and see your favorite band in a club, but it also means that not a whole lot of people are fucking listening to them. What does that tell you?
So, there might not be enough people searching for it, though, either. You know, people are lazy these days. And you know, give credit to the internet because you could go out and search for some of this stuff and find
when a rock band released an album in the 70s, 80s.
It was a much bigger deal.
It was an event.
It was. It was a much bigger deal. I'm not going to
Everybody knew about it.
I'm not going to deny that.
So that's all I'm going to say about that.
Yep, as the mission statement of the show.
We'll accept your hate.
We're sticking by it, man. We're sticking by it.
Keep sending the letters and postcards.
That's right.
Rock Under Fire, we're a rock and roll podcast. You can find us on iTunes and YouTube. Do I even have to mention Stitcher anymore? I don't even know if the people that listen to Stitcher know what Stitcher is. But we're on Stitcher.
Send Stick Nixon your letters.
Cards and letters. We take postcards.
We love you guys.
Follow our shit.
mix.